Texas just cracks me up. I don't know. You never know what he's going to do. And I know that if we give him a present, you know, he'll hold on to it very well. He may even wait till the next year, and it might end up in another children's message. So how was your week this week? Did you have a good week? I had a good week. I know that some of you have been asking, you know, last week when I had come back from visiting my father in Hawaii, and he was so surprised. He had no idea I was coming. My brother and I conspired for me to just show up in his bedroom and to give him a hug. And it was a little risky because we were afraid he might get a heart attack from me surprising him. But he didn't, thank God. And it was a real blessed time, you know, because it was the week before he was going to get this consultation for this surgery. And they're still discussing how and when. And he actually didn't do too well on the stress test this last Friday. So they're debating about waiting a little bit longer. So we'll see. But I just want to thank you for praying for my father. And, you know, he loves the Lord with all his heart. And it was such a gift to be able to see him and to enjoy that time with him. But as I start this message this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt dirty or untouchable? You know, have you ever felt that way at any time in your life, that you were just untouchable? Maybe, you know, you hadn't taken a bath for several days, you're in the middle of final exams, or you hadn't brushed your teeth and somebody shows up at your door, and, you know, you said, don't get near me. I've felt that way once in my life in particular. I remember my father, you know, he was in the Army, and he served, and at one point he was in military intelligence in Taiwan, and stationed there for 4 years just after I was born. And we were in a kind of a small area of military housing, but it wasn't, you know, cordoned off from the rest of the city in Taipei. But it was an area where the borders were open, and right nearby was a classical old rice paddy. One, you know, there were water buffalo pulling people with the steel kind of sleds across the rice paddy. And at one point, I would just play with my little toy cars and soldiers down kind of near the edge of that rice paddy, because there was dirt there, and it was maybe a block away from my house. And some poor kids, local kids, who were not part of the military group, they came up and saw me playing with the toys and decided to take my toys away from me and throw me into the rice paddy. Now, rice paddies, because of the water buffaloes involved, they're not very clean places, because there's a lot of things left behind the water buffaloes as they pull along. Don't think about that when you eat your rice now. But I was in there sputtering and just covered from head to toe with mud and other things. And I ran home to my house and screamed for my mom, "Mommy, Mommy," you know. And she took one look at me. And you would think a mother would go up and hug her crying child, right? Mothers, would you do that for me if I came up to you? I don't see many volunteers. You're like my mom. Okay, so she just said, "Stand there, Ricky," and she took a hose and just hosed me down for 5 minutes. You know, I'm crying, I'm spitting, and, you know, and cold and shivering, and then finally, you know, she brought me inside, and much later on, she hugged me. But I felt untouchable. I felt very, very filthy. And today's message is called The Touch, and it really is about God and how he touches us, how he goes beyond the dirty and dead areas. He actually reaches in to our lives and wants us to understand that he is willing to bridge into the dirtiness and the deadness. And actually, that's what the Christmas message is that God didn't stay on his throne. He came to live among us. He put on flesh and bone and blood and lived as God among us, taking on all of our dirtiness, not being infected by it, not being transformed into being dirty himself, but he carried it on his own shoulders. And that's the good message. That's the good news of Christmas and about what Jesus did in coming to us. Because really, if we understand it, even if we haven't fallen into a rice paddy, we are all, if we really understand God's perfection and holiness, we are dirty and dead, but God loved us enough to reach into our lives. We are all covered with filth. Amen? Let's pray as I prepare us to study a little bit more about this passage that we want to look at. Lord, thank you that you became flesh and blood, that you became a baby and you grew up among us and lived a life perfectly holy. You chose each moment to live among us and to not sin so that you could become that perfect sacrifice for sin. Thank you, God. And we pray this morning as we study this story about this man who was a leper, an untouchable. We pray that you would help us to see not only how you reached into his life, but how you are reaching into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage that's up on the screen here is the passage we're going to focus on. You know, we've been in the Gospel of Mark, the good news of the Gospel of Mark, since a couple months ago. We're kind of working our way through it. And the context is this. Remember, Jesus has come. He's shown himself to be God in the flesh. He's doing all these miracles to validate who he is, that he has the authority to forgive sin, that he has the authority to heal diseases, and that he is God in the flesh. And we saw just a few weeks ago that, you know, he's been healing all these people, and there's crowds of people just coming for this healing. But he goes up one night and prays. And as he prays, he feels like his Father in heaven is saying, you need to move on to other places. And there's still lines of people waiting, and his disciples just don't understand. And he says to them, you know, I have other work to do, to preach the good news. Because really, healing of the physical self is only for a moment. Healing of the spiritual self is for eternity. And so he takes off, and then this is the next thing that happens after Jesus has said to his disciples, we're going to go around to the other towns, and he's healing other people, and then this story of the leper takes place. Let's read together here from verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And just stop there. So a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. It seems like he is just humbling himself, coming down before Jesus. What was a leper's life like? Well, for those who incurred leprosy, you know, there is treatment for leprosy in these days. You know I mentioned to you that we live in Hawaii, where there were one of the last leper colonies were kept on the island where I was at. And at one point, they were on another island called Molokai. And I'll share a little bit more about that later in the message. But there are cures or there are treatments for leprosy, but it's still rampant throughout much of the world if there is not medical treatment. And in his time, in this man's time, treatment was rare. So when you received a diagnosis or when you received this affliction of leprosy, you were set apart. You actually had to live apart from everyone else. You know, they lived in the outside. It was almost like living in the garbage dumps away from society, because it was believed that if you touch, because of what God had said in his law, he said that there is a separation between clean and unclean. And he was trying to get across a bigger message, not just about leprosy or about sin. He was saying, really, there is holiness and there is sinfulness. And really, if you begin to understand it, it's not just about following these rules, it's about recognizing we all are sinful and we need to reach up to God as he reaches down to us. So this man would have experienced separation. Very likely, because if anyone touches him, you know, they would be considered unclean. He would have to walk around yelling, unclean, unclean. Like if I walk down the aisle of the church, just so you could scoot to the outside of the edges of the pews, I would have to yell unclean so you don't get anywhere near me. I couldn't even be upwind from you. You know, so the idea was that if you were more than less than 100 feet away, you know, I needed to be careful if the wind was even blowing across my back. And if I touched you, you became ceremonially unclean. You couldn't go and worship God. I couldn't, as a leper, go and worship God. I couldn't enter the temple. If I was married, I could no longer hug my wife. I couldn't live under the same roof. I couldn't even touch my own children. Food may be delivered or given to me, but more often than not, they may leave it in a place or just toss it to the side. But I was, you know, separated from nutrition, from social relationships, even from God. That is what this man experienced. Children would often just throw rocks at lepers, just say, get away from us, a leper's coming. This man had such a broken body and a broken spirit, and in his emotions was separated and alone, truly alone. So this man comes to Jesus and begs, not for God to heal him, because he begins to recognize that Jesus is God. There's something in him. He says, "You, if you're willing, you can heal me." He recognizes that this man, this God-man, is someone different. So he humbles himself before God. Let's go on to 41. Altogether, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. So how does Jesus respond? He says, "I am willing. Be clean." And what does he do? He reaches out his hand and he touches him. Think about a current Ebola patient. And if you were to reach out and to give them medicine, maybe through a portal and through a rubber glove. But imagine stripping off the glove, reaching to that person, and touching them. There would be a risk, wouldn't there, of Ebola coming toward your way. But for God, for Jesus, cleansing goes out of him into this man. He doesn't have to fear being infected by this person. He cleanses the man. I went into the nursery, and Garrett, just for you, I want to give you something. Would you take this, please? This is a diaper from the nursery, from our nursery here. You can, why don't you just, you know, kind of cradle it in your arms. Now, how do you feel? Do you feel clean or unclean? You're going to assume it's clean. Well, you're right. I crumpled some paper up and I put it in there, and there's really nothing except a little mustard and ketchup and things like that. But, you know, when you think about receiving something dirty, we often think about, well, who do we touch? If we touch something or get involved with something that's dirty, maybe we're going to become dirty. But there's this truth of what Jesus is showing to us. If we are Christians and he lives in us, his cleansing comes out. And so at least spiritually, we will not be unclean by what we associate with. Now, if we partake of it, if, for example, if I choose to become involved in something immoral, you know, that changes something in the dynamic. But if we're talking about being able to associate with those who have issues, if we remember we ourselves were unclean and Jesus healed us, he cleansed us. So thank you, Garrett, for holding onto that diaper. You know, just, you can take it home as a souvenir of today's message, okay? Okay. So Jesus touches him, cleanses him. And then it goes on, verse 43 to 45. Let's read this together. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So Jesus heals him, and he instructs him. He says, you need to go and do the sacrifice before the priest because you need to be restored spiritually. And part of this is a testimony to the priests that Jesus is who he says he is, because in the future, these very priests in the temple are the ones who are going to try to have Jesus killed. So he's giving a gracious touch even to the priests through this man who's probably not touched anyone for years and years. Luke describes this leprosy, the same incident, as his leprosy was fully formed. You know, leprosy begins to kill the nerve endings, and actually parts of your body begin to be worn away. You know, Dr. Paul Brand, I think his name was, that worked with lepers in India, described that oftentimes he would notice at nighttime some of the lepers, ends of their fingers, their digits would be missing. And they didn't understand why through the night that would happen. It was because they had lost feeling in their appendages, and rats were coming at night and nibbling off the ends of their hands. This man had not touched anyone. He was probably greatly deformed. And yet, Jesus healed him completely. It seems like he must have restored his body to complete wholeness, removed the leprosy, regrew fingers, toes, noses, ears. And he said, go to the priests and show them your healing. But this man is so happy. You can't blame him. He's so happy. He just wants to tell everyone, I'm healed. I'm clean. He wants to hug the people, probably his own family, who he hasn't been able to hug for years and years. But Jesus warns him because there's this dynamic that often happens around healing. Physical healing is wonderful, but spiritual healing is even greater. And sometimes, even as he may heal us spiritually, and I said this in a previous message, we have to be careful about how we focus. It's all for God's glory. And any results that he gives, it's up to him. If he heals us for his glory, great. If he doesn't heal us for his glory, great. Because he knew, Jesus knew, that what would happen is the crowds would follow, kind of like after Santa Claus. Give me presents, give me presents. No, give me your presence. That's what you need. That's what you need most of all. So, just a couple of takeaways, a few takeaways from this passage in which Jesus has shown himself to be who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is here to heal us, to change us, to transform us, to receive us, to accept us. And these 3 points here, I mentioned just on the next slide. Just as this leper approached Jesus humbly, I think this message here that God wanted me to give today is for two groups of people. If you've known Jesus for a long time and you've been coming to this church, or maybe you've been coming to this church and you really don't know Jesus, or maybe you're here for the first time. So those who know Jesus and those who don't know Jesus. That is who this message is for. But he is saying to you, to me, approach him humbly. Recognize that he is God. And then as you ask him to heal you, you recognize that you need cleansing. Just humbly ask him for it. And whatever form that takes, it may be a transformation through the Holy Spirit to become his child, to become a Christian. It may be physical healing. Humbly receive it. And then humbly, out of thanksgiving, serve him by serving others. Now, I've shared a little bit about how, in a sense, I feel very close to this story myself. And I think that maybe some of you would say the same thing. I have experienced the great love of Christ covering over my dirtiness, my unclean and dead areas. You know, when I came to Christ as a young administrator for the university, just after I had graduated, I share with you at the time I'd been very resistant to God. God, we just keep him kind of outside of my area. I'll go to him if I really need him. But what happened was, in the middle of that divorce where my first wife Kelly left, I experienced such a brokenness, not just sorrow for her leaving to be with someone else, but I saw how destitute I was. That really I had lived a life that was based on a facade. That really I needed to understand that I had, in a sense, tried to divorce God long before my wife had divorced me. And I wept and understood Jesus' touch to cleanse and heal. And almost immediately after that, even as I was in sorrow at the end of the marriage, I felt a forgiveness for my former wife. Prayed for her to know Jesus because I knew she was running away from God. She said so herself. I don't believe in God. I don't want to know him. I don't care whether he is real or not. So I prayed for her for years. And eventually meeting Debbie, later on, as someone who loved the Lord with all her heart, we prayed for Kelly, my first wife. And even though Debbie and I were dating and becoming more serious, you know, to show you just how Debbie's heart was, she said, you know, if the Lord heals Kelly and lets her come to know him, and you need to be reconciled, I release you to her. We loved each other. Debbie and I loved each other, but she loved the Lord more, which is the key to lasting healing and relationship with God. She said, if that were to happen, and we had already set a wedding date for Debbie and I would release you and let you go. That's pretty amazing to me. But no more amazing than any of us who love the Lord with all our hearts. We know he is the priority. And so Debbie and I did get married, and even after we got married, we prayed for Kelly that she would not run away from God anymore. For years. Jump ahead about 24 years, you know, a few years ago. Debbie and I have been married 27 years, but about at year 24, Debbie and I went on a cruise, the only cruise we ever went on, kind of to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary early, around the Hawaiian Islands. And we stopped in Maui, where Kelly lived. I went to the church where I had become a believer on Maui, and I saw another man who was the youth pastor. He was the associate pastor. He had been part of our young adult group at the time when I was a new Christian as well. And he said, Richard, I want to tell you something really, really good. Kelly became a Christian. She married someone. They have two children. She's been coming to this church. And she wasn't there that particular Sunday, but she's teaching Sunday school now. God answered that prayer. He touched her life. When God touches your life, you want to obey him, you want to serve him, you want to serve others. And I know that that's true in Kelly's life now. And I know that's true in many of your lives. That's why you do what you do. Why you serve others. Why, out of this overwhelming thankfulness for what God has done in you, you reach out and share his love with others. Father Damien of Hawaii, who a Catholic priest who you may have heard of, his life was written about in a number of books and stories. He chose to live among lepers, thousands of lepers who were cast onto this island called Molokai, a very desolate area that's bordered by stark cliffs. The dean of the medical school, who had become my boss at one time for the student services office, he was a temporary vice president for student services, had asked me and a number of other leaders in the university to go with him to Kalaupapa, the community of lepers on Molokai, where Father Damien had ministered over 150 years ago, I believe it was. And he took us there. We met many of the residents who were still Hansen's disease or leprosy patients who had experienced, you know, some of the things I talked about. You know, the man who was the mayor and sheriff and fire department chief and also the tour bus driver, he had all those posts at the same time, showed his wounds, showed these things, and talked about how his grandparents and great-grandparents had experienced Father Damien, who lived among the lepers, who loved them because of what love God had poured into his life, who knew that he himself spiritually was a leper without Jesus. And he talked about a message that Father Damien had given. And a friend of ours, Stephanie Castillo, who is from Hawaii, is a filmmaker. She did an Emmy Award-winning PBS special about Father Damien. And there was one pivotal sermon, even as Father Damien helped among those who were experiencing this separation. He helped to build houses. He helped to lay water pipes. He amputated gangrenous limbs. He did all sorts of things, mostly alone, without much other help, serving, loving, building a church. But one particular message in which, you know, the congregation, they were fluctuating. Even though he served them, they were still distrustful of him. And he began the message by saying, "My fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow lepers." And it was at that moment they understood, because of his love for God, he had contracted leprosy as well. He eventually died from leprosy after many years, but he served until the end, loving, incarnating Christ. Perhaps you, as you've received God's gift of salvation, it's very simple to receive. Perhaps you, as you've walked with Jesus, you are being called, I am being called to serve among those who are untouchable. Who is that? Who are the outcasts around us, among us? Who is God calling you to love with the love of Christ? I'm going to put up on the screen just two simple prayers. One for those of you who are not yet believers and who would like to at least maybe take a step toward finding out if God is real. And I just want you to see that up there on the screen. And if you would like to pray that prayer, I'm not going to repeat it, just right now where you are, say this prayer in your heart. And I absolutely guarantee you, the God who is alive and real, if you are open and humble and say, I want to find out if you're real, he will come. So just pray that prayer right now if you want, if you desire to. The second prayer, the next slide, is if you are at a point where you are ready to release control. You know God is real, and it's just a matter of you saying, I know I am dead in my sins, and without your touch, without you taking my sins upon your shoulders, I have no hope at all. I've been pretending, and I don't want to pretend anymore. If you are ready to make that leap into God's arms, you can pray this prayer. And just again, read it silently and say it in your heart with sincerity. And finally, let's pray together for those who are walking with the Lord and for the ministry of touch and hope that he may be calling you to. Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us as we seek you and seek how to serve you and your people, all the people that you may bring before us. Help us to not be isolated, to be insulated, to be fearful. Help us to love in ways that honor you and show others that you are real. Guide us, Lord, as we go into places where people feel untouchable, stained, dirty, separated from you. Help us to proclaim that you love them just as you've loved us in our sinfulness and under our dirtiness. Help us to be your hands and your heart. In Jesus' name.